Brother John. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, all other ground is sinking sand, Lord. Lord, there's only one sure place to rest our souls, Lord, and that's on the Word of God. Faith takes hold, Lord, and we rest in your Word, O God. Lord, we see the darkness on the world today, gross darkness on the people, God. And Lord, we ask for your mercy. We ask for you to forgive us where we've failed you and sinned against you in any way. If we've grieved you and we didn't know it, Lord, have mercy on us, O God. Help us today, Lord. We're trusting in nothing that we've done. But we look to Calvary. We look to that perfect sacrifice. The blood that was shed, the sacrifice that you made. You gave your life for us, Lord. We accept that today, Lord. We accept the pardon. We accept God's provided way of escape from this dark world, Lord. Lord, I ask you to bless us today. May you bless the reading of your word. May you come and take control of my being and everyone here today, Lord. Lift us up in the heavenly places, O God. Speak to us, Lord. And may your words become alive in us, Lord. And may you manifest your word through us, O God. Help us to be truly, Lord, what you want us to be in this life. We need you, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're standing, let's turn in the scriptures today. God bless you. Matthew chapter 7. I keep forgetting to ask Amber if she has a special, and maybe we'll do it next week. Or praise the Lord.
Amen.
She's always singing around the house. And I say, how come you don't sing at church? And then she said she would, and I forgot. So, well, God help us. Matthew chapter 7. Very familiar scriptures to us. May the Lord bless this reading of his word. Verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?
Amen.
Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And let's turn to Luke chapter 6. Just a couple verses.
Hallelujah.
Luke chapter 6. And verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged.
Amen.
Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven.
Amen.
Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met, withal it shall be measured to you again.
Amen.
You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Let me see if this give me better feedback, Sean. Is this on? Sometimes the best thing to do for a preacher is let him hear himself so that he doesn't scream because he can't hear that he's speaking, you know. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm happy to be here today. Just quick, real quick announcements before we get into the scriptures. We're having a fellowship meal today. Everybody's welcome. I know Maureen brought roast beef, so that should be enticing for anyone to come. On the 26th of December, we have communion and foot washing service in the evening, 7:30. We meet here every week, Thursday and Friday.
Amen.
Friday, we've been having prayer meetings, which has been a real blessing. Thursday night, we've been listening to a message. And winter's here, so just remember, if the weather's sketchy, there's several ways to check if we're canceled the service. There's a website that we put a note on. There's a phone number you can call if you are blessed and don't have the web internet. You can just call a phone number and we leave a voicemail. Also, if you give Amber a cell phone that she can text, she can text a group and say, hey, no service today or whatever. So we try to make it simple and make it easy for both of us, that we don't have to call everybody, but we can do it as a group. Because, you know, the weather's going to come, and it always does come when you don't think. Yes?
Does that include Friday nights?
Yes. Every service will do that. So if we're going to cancel, we'll put something on those the voicemail and the website and the text message. Right, Amber? Yes, that's right. Praise the Lord. Amen. I can't see if my handwriting, so let me see if I wrote anything else down. Praise the Lord. That's it. So praise God. Are you happy to be here?
Yeah.
We had special meetings last weekend, which were a real blessing to me. Brother Brian came all the way from Australia, and there was just things that happened during the week that we realized it was really of God that he came.
Amen.
And the messages that he preached are recorded and on the website.
Amen.
If you haven't heard them, I would strongly recommend that you listen to them. They're a real blessing. And so appreciate Brother Brian's ministry.
Amen.
I believe he has a real gift of God. It's unique. He doesn't say much about it. He doesn't come across like it, but he in the natural sense, he's not everybody has the same kind of mind, and I know him personally. I know his personal consecration to God and his dedication to God, and he's very serious, and he reads a lot of history. And you know, sometimes people around the end time message will just focus on things Brother Branham said, but that only gives you a certain perspective.
Right.
See, and there are many other ministers that God used. For instance, Charles Spurgeon was a brilliant man with a photographic memory, and he was used by God in a great way. And there's many other ministers. Brian is well-read in those things, and I've learned a lot from Brian about history and Smith Wigglesworth's ministry and just different ministries. You know, God uses men.
Amen.
And he was the firstborn of many brethren.
Amen.
So there, you know, we don't want to just focus on, and one of the negative things that's happened around the end time movement that follows Brother Ram's ministry is kind of an exclusivity thing that happens.
Right.
And we think, well, it's just us and there's nobody else. And I don't believe that.
Amen.
Brother Ram said that the wedding garment is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He never said you have to follow me. He never said you have to believe every word I say is thus saith the Lord. He said, actually, my words will fail, but his words will never fail.
Amen.
And his absolute was the scriptures. And we stand for that today.
Amen.
And I do believe God used Brother Branham in a mighty way.
Amen.
Thousands and thousands of souls were led to Christ. His message continually pointed to Calvary, to divine healing, to the restoration of some fundamental doctrines. The Godhead, the Lord our God is one.
Amen.
We don't serve three gods.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And the whole idea of the Trinity is error.
Amen.
It's not in the scriptures. But if you talk to someone who is staunch Trinitarian, they'll hold to that like it's the Word of God, but it's actually a man-made idea, not inspired by God.
Amen.
Three separate eternal persons, you know, and some mysterious one thing, you know. The Lord our God is one.
Amen.
Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. And that is the truth. When we all cross the river, we're going to find out there isn't three, there's one God.
Amen.
So those kind of fundamental truths, the truth of the serpent seed, the truth that it wasn't an apple in the garden, and how that ties all through the scriptures, even to this day, when the big problem today is sexual lust is rampant, and perversion is rampant, and adultery is rampant, and we look back to the garden, and Eve was seduced by that upright man-like beast.
Amen.
The serpent, and he could talk more subtle than any beast, and he only went and became the slithering thing after the curse.
That's right.
So now Brother Branham wasn't the first one to believe that.
Amen.
But he highlighted that truth and showed how, I mean, you know, when we were children, we used to think of original sin. Jesus was born without original sin. But we didn't know what it was. It was kind of like this misty thing, you know, original sin. You know, we all have original sin, but he didn't. Well, he was not born of a sex act. He was born of a virgin.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
A virgin shall conceive.
Amen.
But we were born of sexual, and that's why we must be born again.
Amen.
Of the spiritual, so that we can have eternal life. We can't have our life for eternity. We must be born of God's life.
Amen.
God's own life comes into us, and then we can be born again. Predestination, the foreknowledge of God, all these simple truths that Brother Branham wasn't necessarily the first one to think of them, but he tied things together.
Yes, sir.
And he showed how there was seven Gentile church ages, and there was a messenger to each age. And I really believe that.
Amen.
Brother Branham literally was the seventh church age messenger.
Amen.
Now, you can look at flaws and everything. He was a human being as well. The prophets in the Bible had flaws.
Amen.
And so we'll talk about that today, how people, you know, get a wrong idea in their mind, and they measure and they judge according to flawed judgment. Well, I don't want to be measured and judged according to flawed judgment, right? So we have to be careful about that, and
Amen.
We'll look into that today. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, you know, many people, we read these scriptures today. And I know if you read your Bible, you've read this many times. But as we said a few months ago, we were looking at the words of Jesus. Many people read the words of Jesus, and they just kind of gloss over them. You know, and well, yeah, he said that, but... And they don't take them serious enough. I think if you take the words of Jesus serious and you give it the proper attention and let it have meaning for what it actually says, it can change you and it can impact you. When he says, love your enemies.
Amen.
Do good to those that hate you and despitefully use you and persecute you. But how many people live like that?
Amen, brother.
Well, I don't expect people that aren't Christians to live that way. But if you're a Christian and you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, I love Jesus, I believe in Jesus, and then he says those things, but you don't do them,
Amen.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
And when he says, judge not, lest ye be judged.
Yes.
Condemn not,
Hallelujah.
That ye not be condemned.
Amen.
Forgive,
Amen.
And you can be forgiven.
Amen.
So we're going to look at that today, and I don't want us to gloss over these things. Now, I realize when we say, and I'll address this right up front, when we say, judge not, and a lot of people in the world, even non-Christians will use this verse and say, judge not.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that this world is completely perverted. And the majority is going away from God.
That's true.
That the moral standard of this world is corrupt.
Yes.
There is no standard today.
Yes, sir.
So, and we realize many people living in perversion will respond and say, Jesus said, judge not. And they're hiding behind those words. And they don't want to hear you to tell them where they're wrong. Is that right?
Yes.
So, and I know that often when you talk to Christians about not judging, they'll say, listen, they're just, you know, they just don't want you, they don't want to hear it. But some things are just obviously wrong. Some, the moral decay in our society, it's obviously wrong, right?
Yes.
Just being obnoxious and rude and arrogant and all those things, they're obviously wrong, and the scriptures are against those things. but, you know, Brother Brian addressed a situation in Australia about homosexuality, and he said that a sports figure there, he put something on his social media. It was a scripture. And the scriptures are obviously against homosexuality.
Amen.
It really has nothing to do with our opinion.
That's right.
See, so when we quote the Bible and modern society attacks that, they're attacking God, not us. Okay? And so it matters how we present it, but this man posted a scripture that was against homosexuality, because the Bible's clear. You can look in Leviticus 18, 20, Romans 1. You can look at the scriptures, and it's abomination to God for a woman to be with a woman and a man to be with a man. Okay, that's not our opinion. That's in the Word of God. Okay, so to me, what I'm saying is that's clearly right or wrong, and it's wrong, right? So this sports figure posted the scripture. He was instantly condemned by the society. His contract was nullified. But then there was a protest from the Christians who backed him, and it went to court, and he won the case.
Amen.
And he was reinstated, and he won. And now Brian said that the government is trying to establish some laws for religious freedom.
Amen.
So that you can quote the Bible without being persecuted.
Amen.
So I think that's a good thing. But yes, we do understand that this modern world, Christians are fighting against a complete lack of good judgment. We understand that. The modern view is completely, it has no standard.
Yes.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
See, if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, Christians have a standard. We have the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Word of God says what's right and what's wrong.
Amen.
It really doesn't matter what our opinion is. But we say the Word of God says this. This is what we stand for. And the world, not believing the Word of God, or anybody who doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God, they don't have a standard. Their standard changes with the corrupt society. So if society, and it is, the moral standard is decaying in the last, you know, severely in the last 100, 200 years or whatever you want to look at, the moral decay is just sliding down, and their standard of right and wrong goes with the majority of society. Well, their standards are declining to the place where most people don't know how wrong they are while they stand for what the society says is right. So think about that. You know, I'm thankful that we do have a standard.
Amen.
I'm thankful there is a standard that we can. So the truth is, the modern majority worldview is so far away from God's truth. You see, it's extreme. It's so far away from the truth that if you believe the Bible, you're considered extreme. You're considered intolerant. It always amazes me how people that say Christians are intolerant, they're intolerant of Christians believing the Bible, right? It's such a hypocrisy, really. So, you know, today, just let me just pick on a few things. You look at the way women dress today, okay? Now, our modern society has accepted women dressing completely immoral. And it's so accepted that the society, and especially people growing up today, they can't even imagine that that's wrong. In God's eyes, they don't know it, they don't hear it, people don't say it, it's not being preached in most of the churches. But you know, if you tell a woman it's wrong to cut your hair, she'll be mad at you. But the Bible talks about that. If you your long hair is your glory, why would you cut it off? The Bible says not to do that. And then modest apparel. Well, the world doesn't know what modest is anymore. That standard has decayed.
Amen.
Okay? Like I say, I'd love to have a book that went every 10 years from 1800, 1810, 1820, showing a picture of a sinner and a Christian, and just turn the page every 10 years and watch, you know, an example. And then you'll see a dramatic change in this century since 1900. And early 1900s, people still, even the worldly woman, dressed modestly, but then it started to change dramatically. And women are stripping down themselves, basically naked in public. And if a man who would be wrong would lust on them, they're mad at the man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually presenting themselves in a lustful way.
Right.
See, now the man's wrong, but the woman's wrong too for presenting herself that way. And in God's eyes, they'll both be judged on the day of judgment.
Amen.
So what a world we live in. What a world we live in. So where the whole society is actually wrong. And if you say anything against this modern Jezebel spirit, now, let's just pick on the people that aren't Christians for a moment, but people in the world, they're so focused on a woman being in control, you know, that you know, it's wrong for a woman to be abused or anything like that. That's completely wrong. But women are taking over positions that it's just awkward for them to be in that position. And the modern society is just pushing so hard that if you say anything about that, if you reference a scripture about being keepers at home, well, they'll take your head off.
That's right.
Amen, brother. That's archaic. See? Even though deep down, I think real women, they realize that's better. See? Like even we were somewhere the other day and one of our relatives said to Maureen, I wish I could have stayed home with the kids as you did. You know, not everybody has that opportunity, right? So, but I think it's better.
Yes,
so we live in a society, they'll take your head off for saying that. Like Jezebel just take their head off of people that didn't agree with her. She ruled Ahab, right? And now we see women everywhere. You know, there's advertisements always have a woman dressed sexily, you know, for a car or for any kind of advertise. It doesn't matter what it is. They always have like a beautiful woman that to attract your attention, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's right.
So the whole society is perverted. It's gone corrupt. It's gone that wrong way. And then you go even amongst Christian women, amongst Christianity, that spirit gets on women and they try to rule their husband. That's not of God.
Amen.
If you're trying to boss your husband around, well, you can be sure you don't have the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's not scriptural.
Amen.
See? But again, you know, that Jezebel spirit, you know, take your head off for saying that.
Amen.
See? But the Word of God stands against that.
Amen.
What will the Holy Ghost do to a woman? She Not to make herself abused by anybody. I'm never for that.
Amen.
But, you know,
Amen.
It will be submissive. The Holy Ghost in a woman will be submissive to her husband,
Amen.
Not trying to rule her husband.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And if the Holy Ghost is in a man, he'll love his husband.
Amen.
Or love his wife.
Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
You know what I meant.
Amen.
If the Holy Ghost is in a man, he'll love his wife.
Amen.
Woo! See, aren't you glad the Holy Ghost corrects the error?
Amen.
So, but a man who doesn't have the Holy Ghost, he doesn't really have that same capacity to love his wife as Jesus would.
Amen.
Right? And he, you know, he could do things that are completely wrong. And I would never expect a woman to stay in an abusive environment, right? I would say, get out of there. And we've had that kind of situation come up. And first thing, if you feel physically threatened or violence or anything like that, just you get away from that.
Amen.
See, because the man is of an evil spirit.
Yes,
but if a man has the Holy Ghost,
hallelujah,
he'll love his wife as part of his own self.
Amen.
He won't hurt his wife. He'll go out of his way to help his wife to be happy and to thrive in life. That's what I believe. And Christ is our example, who gave his own life for the church, his bride.
Amen.
So the real love of God is a self-sacrificing love. It's not a selfish love. And I don't believe in husbands saying, hey, do what I want, you know, to a wife. I don't believe that at all. See, that's wrong. See? So we could, there's so many things that we can look at that are wrong, all right? But we got to look back to the Word of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. So the bottom line is this world is corrupt. The bottom line is the world, this world we live in, is facing the judgments of God. The Bible talks about and promises judgments to come upon this generation, I believe. The majority of people in this world are deceived, lost, and don't know it. It makes it a very serious time. So, I want to go back to something Jesus said in Matthew 7, a couple of verses here. I think Sean will put it up. We don't have to turn. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate. And remember, straight, that shows like a waterway, right? I think it's saying baptism. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. How sad is that? Amen. But that's what Jesus said. Amen. Right? Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Amen. Few there be that find it. Amen. It's few that find life. The majority, what's that say? According to Jesus, the majority's going the wrong way. If you're going with the flow of society, if you fit in with the society, they're going towards destruction. We're going the opposite way. That's very clear in the scriptures. Now, how you handle that truth matters. Say, how you handle it matters. Christians are also instructed to study to know what's right. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Amen. Notice, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, so it's part of Christianity that in our minds, we look at situations and we look at the word of God and we are instructed to divide right from wrong based on the word of God. Now, I don't believe we really can without the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because he is the author of the word of God. Amen. He is God himself living in us, the mind of Christ coming into us, the spirit of Christ coming to us, rightly dividing. So for instance, the law said to stone the adulterer, but here was Jesus here applying the word differently, and he had mercy on her. See, so I think it's very obvious today, people can have the word of God, but not be rightly dividing it, not rightly applying the word of God. That's why we need the spirit of God to do that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we need to be careful that we keep our balance. And I think balance is such an important word, and it's hard to do. Balance is hard to do in your life. Sometimes people can work too much, mm-hmm. right? Or sometimes people can't work enough. Or people don't spend enough time with their family.
Amen.
See, and striking the right balance and everything, you know, or there's, you know, the parent that is too strict or not strict enough. See, keeping your balance, you know. You don't want to beat your kids until they break their spirit, but they need to know who's in charge. And then, on the other hand, they really need the love of God.
Amen.
Children need to experience mercy.
Amen.
See? We need, because we're all pointing everyone to Christ, to our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, we have to be careful. And today I want to talk about not to overstep when it comes to judging others.
Amen.
And I believe this is a problem. We have to be careful not to overstep. So John 7:24 says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Amen.
So what does What does that mean? If you look up that word appearance, it has to do with the outward. You know, God said to Samuel, man looks on the outside, God looks on the heart.
Amen.
See, so God doesn't necessarily judge according to outward appearance. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
And he looks deeper than that, where men may not even realize it, but tend to focus on exterior things, outward things that aren't necessarily what God uses to judge. And so we need enough of the Spirit of God in us to show us the difference. And sometimes I think Christian people think, well, I judge right all the time. I mean, I'm a Christian. Do you ever experience that where, you know, it reminds me of the scripture, every way of a man seems right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts.
Amen.
Right? The Lord weigheth the spirits.
Amen.
It's like the disciples, when they were with Jesus, and they were real disciples, and they were real believers, and we told them not to do that. They're not of us. Should we call fire down from heaven on them? He says, you don't know what spirit you're of.
Amen.
What spirit are we of?
Yes,
see? Really, when you're condemning somebody, I want you to think about that. What spirit are you of? He came to save.
Amen.
He said, condemn not, that you be not condemned. So I think we really need to take seriously the words of Jesus.
Amen.
So let's get into this today. What's righteous judgment? And when I look at that and I study that, it's as God would judge. How would God judge the situation? See? Now we can't do that without the Holy Spirit. We must be connected to God, or we will not judge rightly. We will judge as a human judge. Even if you're a believer and you're reading the Bible, and so there's a lot of people following Jesus that really don't have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
They're believers, but they haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I think there's a difference there, where that Holy Ghost leading and guiding you into all truth, helping you apply the Word of God, that's what we need. If we want to judge righteously, we must be truly born again,
Amen.
Filled with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And judge as God would judge. Now, a good example of this, and we've talked about this many times, is Stephen Marin is a testimony. You could find it online. Margie Mayfield was this woman who God used to have mercy on this man who was a murderer and a rapist on the top 10 FBI most wanted list. So his deeds were clearly evil. It's not wrong to say murder's wrong. Right? That's clear. The Bible says that. It's just clear. It's just wrong. It's not wrong for us to judge a rapist is wrong. Rape is wrong.
Amen, bro.
See, but what happens to us is, in trying to judge, we take the person, Stephen Marin, and we condemn the person.
That's right.
Amen, bro.
Say, he's a murderer, he's a rapist, he's evil, he's condemned.
Amen.
But I want you to see, this is a good example, because even though every one of us here might have thought that way about him while he's running around killing and raping women, okay, which is evil, God looked beyond something. And God had mercy on the man and visited him and used this woman as bait, as she said. And she was loaded up with the scriptures. She would memorize the scriptures. And it came all out, gushing out of her at that time. And she constantly pointed him to the Word of God. And she said she felt the love of God going through her to this murderer. So I'm trying to get us to see something. God is able to separate the sin from the sinner. And we struggle with that, being human beings. And again, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the love of God in us. We need the mind of Christ in us to look beyond the surface, even to look beyond the evil deeds of people. and see, you know, and Stephen was miraculously saved supernaturally, went to prison, and he led the warden to Christ. He led many prisoners to Christ because God visited this man and changed this man. And I believe if we make it, we'll see him over there. But he was killed because he, you know, the law of the land in Texas said, you may have changed, but the laws are clear. You have to pay the price. So he was killed a capital punishment. But the warden was sad. He's like, I'm sad to see this happen because my life changed and many people were changed.
Amen.
Because of it says Christ came to this man.
Amen.
He had never felt love before that day he met Margie Mayfield. I want you to know, I believe the world is starving for the love of God.
Amen.
They're starving for somebody that really knows God.
Amen.
That is able to show mercy.
Amen.
That is able to withhold judgment for what they've done, to look beyond what they've done, and to reach out to the soul that's there and say, there's a way of escape for even you. For all are sinners and fall short of the glory of God.
Yes.
See, we're no better than anyone else.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're not to judge the person. See, yes, we can judge the actions as wrong. But what about the person? So, when I look at that, I even have in my own life, and this is very personal to me, I'm sharing with you something very personal. I have a nephew. He grew up as Owen to me. And now he wants to be Gwen. He changed himself from a male to a female. Okay? Now for me, I can't agree that God made a mistake.
Amen. That's right,
that he should have been a woman. I can't agree with him. But that doesn't mean I condemn him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I still feel love for my nephew.
Amen.
Okay? Now, he may get offended, or people may get offended if I call him a male. I'm not even sure God cares about that, really. I think the thing is, can we look beyond that, which we would say is perversion, and love the person?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's true, brother. Amen.
Can we? You know, some things are so strange to us that we recoil maybe at them. You know, abomination, when the Bible says something's an abomination, like homosexuality, you know, that word means it's disgust. It's a disgust to God. He hates that. Okay, he hates that perversion. And I believe there's so many perverted things in the land today that God, there's many abominations in the land.
Yes.
And maybe in our lives, we do things that are an abomination to God.
Yes.
And we don't even know it.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
You know, I for one, I pay attention when it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Amen.
Because I want mercy.
Amen.
I don't think if you're in your right mind, there is not one person here that would say, I want God's justice.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen.
We don't. Because, you know, in the end of the day, if God puts a microscope on our life and he looks at every detail of our life, we may not even be conscious of it, but we probably have grieved God many times.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Sinned against God.
Amen.
Amen.
And we want mercy from God, but are we willing to show mercy to others?
Hallelujah.
Notice in Luke, let's go back to Luke 6:37. I want to read it again. And I love reading the words of Jesus. I can't get enough of it. And I feel sorry for someone who just thinks, I already read that.
Amen. I love it.
It's life. His words are life.
Amen.
To us.
Amen.
And you could have read something a dozen times, and at one time, he can open that to you.
Amen.
In a way that you never saw before.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Judge not. Oh, the glasses. Judge not that ye be not judged. Condemn not and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven.
Amen.
Give. You know, how we give affects how people give to us, according to the Word of God. Right? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met. Now, that word met, you look it up. It's how you measure. It's how you judge. How you do good, how you do evil. With what measure ye met. With all, it shall be measured to you again. Let me stop there. Jesus says, with the same measure that you measure. What does that mean? The same standard that you judge. The same, according to the rule that you have. That's how you'll be judged. I think this is something for each of us to dwell on. I think it's more important than people think. I think people read the scripture and they move on. They say, people are... You know what? It's the words of Jesus. I want to take it seriously. I want to understand what he meant. I want to apply it to my life. And I don't want to dismiss it. Yes, the world's hiding behind it. That doesn't matter. He still said it.
Amen.
God's word specifically ties together how we judge others to how we'll be judged. That is the truth.
Amen.
You cannot deny that. Judge not that ye be not judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven.
Amen.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Matthew, let's go to Mark 11:25. This is right after Mark 11, is, you know, when he talked about have faith in the spoken word of God, and we're living in a day where we know, I believe with all my heart, talking about a promise, that there's people alive on earth today that are going to speak, and the creative power of God is going to come out of their mouth.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be me. I don't deserve that, but I believe it's going to happen.
Amen.
I believe someone is going to be, by the sovereign grace of God, is going to be so filled with the Holy Ghost that God sovereignly is going to take over their mind and their mouth and speak and create.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart.
Hallelujah.
And this is the scripture in Mark 11 that he talks about that. And then just below, after he talks about that, if you have faith and doubt not, if you say to this mountain, be removed and doubt not in your heart, it shall come to pass. And then he says, and when ye stand praying, forgive.
Amen.
If ye have aught. You know, an ought is if you have a cause or you have something specific against some, maybe someone did something to you and you have a reason. If you have ought against any, that your Father also in which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. Does he tie it together?
Yes, sir.
Clearly he ties it together.
Amen.
How about the Our Father?
Amen.
The prayer we learned growing up, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Amen.
It's tied together.
Amen.
It's clearly tied together.
Amen, brother.
We can't separate it.
Amen.
God tied it together.
Amen.
Look at verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses.
Amen. Amen.
We must forgive.
Amen.
We ought to be
Amen.
The most forgiving people on the face of the earth.
Amen.
We know God is real. We know His word is true. We ought to be merciful people.
Amen.
But are we? Are we merciful? I'm not just saying big things. about little things. You know, Brother Branham, when the sovereign grace of God came on him, and he said, the Lord said, stand up in the boat, and there's witnesses to this, and the fish that had its guts pulled out was laying there on a lily pad, and he spoke to the fish, and the fish went back to life and went down through the water after it had been laying there for hours, okay? There's witnesses to that. It happened. Now, Brother Branham, being that he preached divine healing and his life was not an easy life, people coming to him for prayer all the time, he said he had lists back at home of spastic children that were prayer requests. So he was, you know, wondering, you know, why would God use his power to heal that fish instead of, you know, one of these children? We're human beings, aren't we? We have compassion. We, you know, we could see a mother struggling or, you know, something.
Yes, sir.
But he said this, and I think it's very important. He said, God did that to show us that he cares about the smallest things in our life.
Amen.
There's nothing in our life that doesn't matter. Our attitudes towards one another matter to God.
Amen.
Are we hard and unforgiving and judgmental to everybody in our life, or are we merciful? It's quiet.
That's true.
Amen.
It's good. It means you're thinking about it.
Amen.
Lord, am I merciful?
Amen. Hallelujah.
I think every one of us should pray, get alone and pray, say, Lord, is there someone that I haven't forgiven that I'm not even thinking about? And give him time. Wait patiently on the Lord. Because, you know, even this year I realized in prayer that I had grudges against the abusers at work, people above me, and I didn't know it until God showed it to me.
Amen.
And it was affecting me. It was affecting my behavior. See, just because that person's wrong doesn't mean I should be wrong. Just because someone's wrong that you know doesn't give you the right to be bitter and unforgiving to them.
Amen.
We must forgive.
Amen.
Even if they don't receive it, even if they don't change,
Amen.
God calls us to forgiveness.
Amen.
God calls us to mercy so we can receive mercy.
Amen.
You know, some people are like, give me teaching. Give me deep things. This is deep things.
Amen. That's true.
And these are the things that matter and affect our daily behavior and affect our spirit. If we're holding bitterness, do you think the Holy Spirit's going to be pleased to dwell? The little dove takes its flight.
That's true.
Waiting for us. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Judge not that ye be not judged. Condemn not that ye shall not be condemned. Forgive and ye shall be forgiven. For with what measure ye met, with all it shall be measured to you again. You know, Jesus said, he said, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise.
Amen.
See, here's the disconnect, okay? Let's get down to it. We want God to forgive us, but we don't always forgive other people.
That's
the bottom line. We always want forgiveness for us. But what about others?
Amen.
Well, they kind of deserve. See, there's something wrong.
Amen.
We're not thinking right.
Right.
If we're thinking right, we're the most merciful, forgiving people on this face of the earth.
Amen.
To an extreme. Oh, he forgives everybody. Yes. Because I want forgiven.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, he's so merciful.
Amen.
To an extreme, he's merciful.
Amen.
It's because he has a clue. Yes, mercy's good. Mercy. Mercy overrules judgment. Do you realize that? Someone comes into your life, they've done something wrong, it's in your power to judge them, it's in your power to inflict punishment, it's in your power to call them out, but you choose mercy. You choose to overrule the judgment they deserve with mercy.
Amen.
It's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
And that opens the door for God to choose to be merciful to us. But if we don't choose mercy, if we push mercy aside and say, that's for wimpy people, I'm a rugged Christian and I like to inflict judgment.
Amen. That's right, brother.
I don't want to stand next to you. Lightning coming from heaven.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Oh God, make us merciful.
Amen.
Make me merciful.
Amen.
Give me your love, God.
Amen.
Help me to love as you loved.
Amen.
I don't want to be like the rest of the world. I don't want to be filled with criticism and bitterness and judgment.
Amen.
How we judge will affect how we are judged.
That's right.
That's a very simple concept, but do we really understand it? Does our life show that we understand it? And I'm not just talking about big things. I'm talking about personal relationships. I'm talking about somebody in your family, your neighbor, your father, your mother, your daughter, your son, your cousin, your nephew, your people you work with. How are we with them?
Hallelujah.
When someone's wrong, do we first choose to forgive? I think we fail. I think I've failed many times. But I don't want to be that way. I want to listen to what Jesus said, and I want to let him come inside of me and live through me, and that those that experience our life, they experience mercy.
Amen.
They experience forgiveness.
Amen.
Listen, they don't deserve it.
No.
Where do we get stuck on this deserving thing?
Mm-hmm.
We all deserve to go to hell.
Amen.
Without the grace of God, we're all lost.
Amen. Amen.
So where do we get stuck on they don't deserve mercy?
Mm.
No one does.
Amen.
No one does.
Right.
Oh, let's go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. And listen, I realize you've already read this before, but let's look at it again, okay? Can we do that?
Amen.
Matthew 18, verse 21. And Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?
Mm.
And then being very gracious, he said, till seven times? And I really believe he was going for a stretch there, you know? And I kind of also believe Peter had somebody in mind, you know? You know what I mean? They're human beings too. You know? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
Amen.
Now to me, I don't believe he was saying, go get a copy book and start marking and counting.
Yes, sir.
I think he was blowing Peter's mind, saying, beyond anything you can imagine.
Amen.
Infinity.
That's right.
Okay?
Amen.
Right? Not okay, count. What's 7 times 70? 490. Thank you, Amos. I don't have a calculator, so. 490. If any of you is counting, you misunderstood the Lord, okay? Let's look at it. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Is God going to take account someday? And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents, which is a lot of money. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of the servant was moved.
Amen.
Repentance moves God.
Yes, it does.
Was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his servants which owed him 100 pence. Now, you take those 10,000 talents and compare it to 100 pence, and it doesn't even... You know, you're talking about millions versus pennies. Really. That's what we do. Now, watch. Found a fellow servant which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." Now, did this guy learn anything? He didn't learn. We should learn from our experience at Calvary. If you've had that day at Calvary, if you've experienced God's forgiveness, if you're saved by the grace of God, what is that worth? What is that worth? We should learn from that. "Pay me that thou owest." His fellow servant fell down, besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all." Same thing he did. And he wouldn't, but he would not, and he went out and cast him in the prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, he had called him and said unto him, "O thou wicked servant." Once God had showed mercy, the Lord had showed mercy to him, but now, because he didn't learn from the mercy was shown him, he was a wicked servant. How we treat others after we're saved matters.
Amen.
It matters.
Amen.
"O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts..." From your hearts. "Forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses."
Amen.
Wow. I think he's telling us there, I don't just want you to say that you forgive. I want you to really forgive. Because I've met people that say, "Yeah, I forgave them." And I'm like, I'm not feeling it. Not feeling it. And their actions don't show that they forgave. So did they forgive? I did what Jesus said. No, he said from your hearts. You know, if you're really struggling with an offense that somebody did to you, you know, and that can happen, we need to take it to God. We need to be serious with God. We need to go in God in prayer and say, "God, yes, I'm still hurt. Lord, I'm concerned that I haven't forgiven. Help me to forgive. I choose to forgive, but help it to be really from my heart."
Yes.
We must be willing.
Yeah.
See, always with God, take a step and he'll bring you the rest of the way.
Amen.
He'll bring the feelings in if you don't feel. See, choose to forgive. Voice it. You don't have to tell. You just tell God, "I forgive. I forgive.
Amen.
I forgive them." We're setting ourselves free, brothers and sisters. We're not holding that person that we haven't forgiven captive. We're holding ourselves captive. Now, when we look back in the Bible, I want you to see this, because we're talking about how we judge. Just imagine being in the day of David's day. And there, he's a murderer and adulterer. Right? But God had mercy on David. Did God love what David did? No. You can never convince me of that. He didn't love that he lusted on Bathsheba, that he took her in, and then he tried to hide it, and then he had pushed Uriah to the front of the line so that he could kill him and take his wife. God didn't love that. But God loved David. See, God can separate it.
Amen.
He can separate. God, help us to separate the sinner from the sin.
Amen.
Help us to separate what they do from who they really are. Look at Moses. You know, Israel wanted to stone Moses when they got to the promised land. And this always concerns me that the people thought they were so right and they thought Moses was so wrong. Better that we would have died in Egypt. Stone him! There's something about finding fault with others. I think something comes over your eyes and you can't see clearly. Moses wasn't wrong. They were wrong. But they were so bold in their accusation. They wanted to kill him. But he had done exactly what God told him to do. See, be careful when you get of this finding fault spirit. It's blinding. They couldn't see all that God had done through Moses. That went out the window. All they could do was find fault because they were uncomfortable. They were afraid. It's a spirit.
Amen, brother.
The finding fault spirit.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When really, we should be looking to show mercy anyway.
Yes.
We should be looking to forgive, not finding fault. Examine yourself. Do you have this mindset that is looking to find fault with others?
Amen.
It's a spirit. And while you're justifying yourself thinking you're right and they're wrong, and God's thinking you're wrong and they're right. It's all throughout the scriptures. Look at Job's comforters. Obviously he's wrong. I mean, obviously you sinned. Right?
Amen.
And in the end, Job was right and they were wrong. And God had allowed this to happen to Job for a reason, for a purpose.
Amen.
See, God does things we don't understand.
Yes.
That's true.
Amen. It's really obnoxious to think you understand everything.
Amen.
When you meet a stranger, you don't know their life.
That's true.
Amen. You don't know what they've been through.
Amen.
And they don't know what you've been through.
Amen.
Look at Ahab meets Elijah. Ahab, the Bible says he was like one of the worst kings in God's eyes, right?
Yes.
But go to 1 Kings 18. Sean, you have it? So we don't have to turn. It's just a couple verses. Look up here on the... And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Ahab, the worst, absolutely one of the worst kings in God's eyes.
Amen.
And he's accusing Elijah. You're wrong. All of our problems are because of you. Brothers and sisters, I'm using an extreme example. That happens to us. That can happen to you while you're focusing on somebody's faults. You're wrong in God's eyes. That's why I say it's better to be merciful.
Amen.
It's better to forgive.
Amen.
It's better to say you're sorry even if you don't think you're wrong, because maybe you are. Oh, I never thought of that. Look at Ahab wasn't kidding. He thought Elijah was wrong. He had all the facts. He had all the boldness and arrogance to say, "Elijah, you're wrong." Tell you what, I wouldn't want to be picking on one of God's prophets.
Yes.
Oh, sir. And we got a bunch of people today that made it their life's mission to attack a prophet of God. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes.
That's right.
What's God going to do to them? I don't even... Be careful. That's all I say. Be careful. It's amazing how people can be so wrong and blame others. It is. It really is. Look at Jesus. They thought Jesus was wrong. Let's go to John chapter 7. This is everywhere in the Bible. Amen. And I believe it's everywhere in this life. And brothers and sisters, listen. Let's not play dodgeball today. You know, in dodgeball, you know, you had these kids in the middle, you know, and then the ball's coming and you step out of the way and hit somebody else, right? We love dodgeball. We used to play it on the side street in the house, you know. This big ball and you throw it. If you got hit, you were out, right? Well, in church, people play dodgeball. The scriptures come out and the word of God's coming out and they say, that's not for me. But it probably is for that other guy over there. See, when you come to church, let the word of God hit you.
Amen.
Because you're not out, you're in.
Amen.
The word of God comes to you and actually changes us. Just like the Spirit and the word of God hovered over this world that was dark and void and made something beautiful. And if you let the word of God prick your heart and change you, he can make something beautiful. Where something wasn't beautiful. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Here he is, God manifested in flesh.
Amen.
Anointed, filled, the fullness of God bodily. Boy, can you imagine?
Amen.
The fullness of God. If any man thirst, let him come unto me. That still applies today. And drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Amen.
But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He hadn't gone to Calvary yet. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is a prophet. This is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. They were right, weren't they?
Amen.
Now I want you to look at those that disagreed.
Mm-hmm.
But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee?
Mm-hmm.
Hath not the scriptures said that Christ cometh of the seed of Bethlehem, seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now look what they did. They thought they were resting in the scriptures. They were boldly against Jesus, confident because they had the scriptures. But Jesus was God.
Amen.
Amen.
They're like, here's the problem, and this is the problem today. They didn't have all the facts right. They thought he's from Galilee, Christ has to come from Bethlehem. And they failed to understand he was born in Bethlehem.
Amen.
They didn't know that little fact.
Amen.
But they had all these other facts that they thought.
Amen.
Here we got people condemning Brother Branham's ministry.
Amen.
What if they don't have all the facts right?
Amen.
Right.
Exactly. Good, brother.
I got all the facts. I've talked to some of the people. I've studied it. Uh-oh. Woo! Obnoxious, lifted up. You're in trouble. When you get lifted up, you're going down. I said, couldn't it be that you don't understand everything? I've studied it. I. That's the problem right there. And they throw the baby out with the bathwater. What a move of God to this generation.
Amen.
Miracles, signs, and wonders.
Amen.
Thousands led to Christ. The humility that came off that ministry. Even his greatest enemies in that day that didn't agree with his teachings, they said, but if ever there was a Christian, it's Brother Branham. And now people today calling him a liar.
Mm-hmm.
A malicious liar.
Mm.
All I'm saying, any influence I have on people, just be careful of that spirit, because it is blinding and people don't see how wrong they are. They're just like Ahab picking on Elijah, and they're going to be in trouble. It's happening today. The same thing's happening today. You know, they looked at God manifested in the flesh and judged it as wrong because their facts didn't line up. You know, I heard Jesus say that he was in heaven now. I heard Jesus say he's going to build the temple in 3 days. He can't be God. Right?
Amen,
they didn't understand. He was God.
Amen.
God manifested in the flesh. Imagine John the Baptist, hairy, wild, coming out of the window. It's that Elijah spirit. He was rugged. He ate bugs.
Amen.
Right? That can't be God. Look at him. God comes in unusual ways.
Amen.
He's an unusual God. Unexpected time, unexpected ways. People get so bold and confident, they feel free to judge others. And when they don't realize that's how they're going to be judged, and without all the information, then, you know, halfway. I like the spirit that was on David, a man after God's own heart. When Saul went out to kill David, actually, I really love this.
Amen.
Saul was chasing David to kill him without cause.
Right?
Saul was obviously wrong, but he thought David was wrong. Now, if you're a Bible reader, what did Saul have that he didn't know he had? An evil spirit.
Right.
He had an evil spirit on him that caused him to aggressively pursue David to kill him.
Amen.
When you're aggressively trying to find fault with somebody, could it be an evil spirit? Because what would the Holy Spirit do? Well, he would forgive them and have mercy on them. No! Kill! It's a devil.
Amen.
It's not Christ. It's not.
Amen.
Help us, Lord.
Help us. Amen.
Evil spirits cloud your vision. They only let you see what they want you to see.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Let's go to 1 Samuel 24. I'm trying to finish here. 1 Samuel 24. I love this, so we're going to read it. And I know you've read it before, but we're going to read it again. 1 Samuel 24, verse 1. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where there was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. What a setup. And the men of David said to him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said to thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy at thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as shall seem good unto thee. Kill him! And David arose and cut off the skirt from Saul's robe privily. So he secretly cut a piece off his skirt, right? Came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed. Now, Saul was anointed of God. Okay, right then he was wrong, but there was a time in his life he was used by God. How come people don't apply that thinking today?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Amen, that's right.
Amen, brother. Anointed, the Lord's anointed to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went his way. Clueless. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, My Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself, humbled. And David said to Saul, Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how the Lord had delivered thee today into my hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee, but mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put my hand against the Lord. I will not put forth mine hand against the Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for it in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee. The Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee.
Amen.
Psalms 105:15, saying, Touch not mine anointed,
Amen.
And do my prophets no harm.
Amen.
Touch not mine anointed.
Amen.
Brother Branham preached a wonderful sermon called Respects. After you listen to that, if you take it to heart, you won't say anything against anybody. Which is the scriptural way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let me read Matthew. I just have two scriptures I want to read and we'll finish up. Matthew 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him, how they entered the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath day.
Amen.
I love that scripture. I have the Old Testament. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I will have mercy. God wants you to be merciful.
Amen.
You.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 4, let's stand. I'll read this last scripture. I really love this scripture. I think we should take it to heart. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. It really shouldn't matter how people judge us, right? The only thing that matters is what God thinks. It is a small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Boy, I wish we could think like that.
Amen.
For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, for he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Nobody gets away with anything, right?
Amen.
Who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. See, every man's going to give account to God.
Amen.
And God's going to judge us for what we've done. Let's bow our heads to him.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, oh Lord, there's many things I don't understand. But this one thing I do understand. You had mercy on me, Lord. You died for us. You took up that cross, Lord. You paid the price to set us free. And Lord, now I believe you want us to be merciful to others, to forgive others, to be patient and kind, even if people don't deserve that. Lord, forgive us where we failed you here, Lord. Lord, I realize if you examine our lives without mercy, we are all guilty, Lord. We are guilty. Men and women, adults and children, we're all guilty. And if we get what we deserve, Lord, we would go to hell.
Amen. Amen, Lord.
But Lord, we're trusting today in your provided way of escape. faith in that sacrifice that you made, that you paid the price that we should have paid. Lord, may your spirit come back into us. May your life come back into us. And may the sweet spirit of God rule and reign in our hearts. May the mind that was in Christ come into us, Lord. Lord, help me. Help all those here today. May we truly reflect Christ to this dying world. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh my. You know, some of the simplest scriptures are very powerful and very deep. You know, they're things that I've read many times, and then it just seems like there's more. There's more to it. There's more to it. You know, I believe there's a closer walk for us today.
Amen.
You want that today?
Amen.
Amen. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. I am weak, but thou art strong. Is that right? I don't know. Let's start the chorus first. Just a walk with thee. Granted, Jesus. Jesus is okay. That's wrong. Just lower. Just a closer walk with thee. Don't judge me now. Granted, Jesus. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Let's go to that first verse. I am weak. Jesus, keep me. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long.